This morning, I really have a lot on my mind. Wherein that I feel very much led to speak. And it's a story that is not new to any of you because it's a story of life. And God has seen to it that the story has been in existence from the beginning. It's that power that touches the heart to the children of men and draws their hearts to God and saves the souls of the children of men that they with willingness walk according to the commandment of God and by choice choose righteousness, choose life rather than darkness, choose good rather than that which is opposite of God. About a love that over the generations of time from the beginning has provided a way for the children of men to come and to be embraced by the arms of God the Eternal Father and help and directed and strengthened and provided the needs of the children of men for peace and harmony and love and joy, the charity that reaches out to the children of men to lift them up, to give them a vision of life eternal, to give them a vision of happiness and a joy that comes only and through the directing Spirit of God. In 96 A.D., on the Isle of Patmos, where one of the servants of God was exiled because of his righteousness, because of his speaking out, because of his testifying of God, we find John the Revelator under the influence of the power of God and spoken to by the Lord, was shown a vision and prophecy. And things were unfolded before his eyes of times then, of times now, and of times yet to be that have not yet unfolded. In that vision and in that speaking to him, there was a message given to, we know, as what is called the seven candlesticks or the seven churches of Asia. And you know, like those seven churches of Asia, when you study the history, we find that mankind really hasn't changed any. Because a lot of things that ran through the minds and a lot of trials and tribulations and problems and the places that they put themselves which were unrighteous and out of order before God, man does today. We find that we have the same heartache and the same trials. We find that sometimes we have the same leading by a spirit that is not of God to direct our lives. One that would lead us away. One that would have a tendency to draw us in the opposite of direction of life eternal. And just like he spoke to the seven churches of Asia, as we study the seven churches of Asia, it's impossible for me this morning to cover each one. But I'm going to sum up some of them. Number one is, we know that when he spoke to the seven churches of Asia, he told them of the things that they were doing that he liked, that were good and righteous and wholesome. And he says, I see those. And he says, those are good. And you know, indeed, if he was to speak to us as a people directly in that same manner today, I know that as he looked at us as a body of people, he would find those things that he liked. He would find those things that we're doing that would satisfy him and that would make him happy because we're working towards that direction But like those seven churches of Asia, as well, I'm sure he'd find those things that he doesn't like. He'd find those things that we were doing that were opposite, would be according to his holy teaching. Things that he would recognize as far as sin's concerned, and of the spiritual body would cause a spiritual cancer that would eat at the heart and the mind of the children of men and destroy them. That would eat at the hearts and the minds of the children of men and cause that those things that they're doing now that give him joy would eventually turn away and no longer be that, because they allow a power, a force, a source of energy that is opposite of that of right, that destroys the souls of the children of men. And you wonder, maybe for a minute, what do you mean by a source of energy? Don't kid yourself that the power of the adversary is not a source of energy. And it's an active energy in the lives of the children of men. It has been an active energy in the lives of the children of men from the very beginning. To destroy the souls of the children of men, to verify the fact to the hearts and the minds of those who would listen to it, that there is no God, that you need not to pray, that you need not to seek, that you need not to obey, but to go your own way, and when you feel like it, do your own thing. That which has great power. If you don't think it doesn't have great power, look at the nations of the world today. Look at the nation of the United States today. Look at the people and the things that they're doing. And then tell me he has no power. Because I'm afraid, like Jesus said, is the multitude, that broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way of the life. Then indeed that very prophecy is before the vision of you and I this day. That the multitudes of nations and people are following a source and a power that is generated by darkness to destroy the souls and the minds and the hearts of the children of men. And just like Jesus had said before, they love darkness rather than light, because they walk after it. They hunger and thirst for filth rather than hungering and thirsting for righteousness. They have set their vision on that of the world rather than that of God. They have allowed a mocking finger of people who is opposite of God and is walking in the darkness. They have allowed a mocking finger to make them ashamed of righteousness. Wherein, like the scriptures tell us, that they had pulled away from the tree of life and had fallen even after they had partaken of the knowledge and the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ, and they fell away and they returned no more. We are approaching and have approached, and those that have gone before us and those who will be after us, a force, a power, that is very much alive and alert to destroy the children of men, and has a strong vision for the least little crack in the armor of, yes, even the saints. Because if we go back into history, we find the rise and falls of righteous people, and they held it for a while, and then they fell. Then we'll find eventually they'll come back up, and they'll hold it for a while, and they fall. Just one time after another, that people can't seem to grasp and hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ and continue to hold it. But they'll hold it for a few generations, and then the first thing you know, that force and power that is of darkness rather than light begins to enter into the hearts of the children of men, that they begin to stumble and trip and fall. Till they no longer hold within them even a desire to follow after the commandments of God. That they rise up a rebellious people. They rise up a people, like the scripture says, that they are liars, and there are these different things. And Jesus tells us directly. He tells us that the devil is the father of lies. I want you to think of that for a minute. And I want you to think of the lies that runs across the face of the earth, or perhaps the lies that come from me or you, or wherever the case may come from. Remember what it says, that the devil is the father of lies. That's why the Scriptures tell us we're not to bear false witness. That's why he tells us of the different things that's necessary for us to begin to see the power of that darkness, because it teaches us an opposite way of God. That power of darkness teaches us an opposite way of God. It teaches us a way to be lost rather than to be saved. And that's something that though we in our life as children, and those of us here today, that perhaps will look and say, well, we have embraced the gospel of Christ. Well, we may have embraced the gospel of Christ, but when we embraced the gospel of Christ, it didn't kill a force across the nations of the world that's destroying the souls. And it indeed did not kill the force that will continue to work on your heart and your mind to pull you back in the position that you were in perhaps before you repented, before you entered into the waters of baptism, before you came into the manner and came into the position wherein that God could lead and direct you. You know, if we desire to have God lead us as a people or lead us as an individual, it's because you and I have so ordered our life that we're going to allow it. It doesn't make any difference what He has written for us. It doesn't make any difference what He has caused to be written and the answers that He answered for us. Over the generations of time of life, if you and I don't apply them, we can read all the beautiful promises given unto the children of men by God. We can read all the things, how He's going to subdue the power of the devil in the end. We can read all kinds of things, but all these things that we read shall fall at naught unless it comes to an understanding that you and I apply to our lives. Unless we recognize the fact that God indeed has pre-warned and forewarned the children of men in a manner, in a direction in which they should walk. But so oft we find that our vision has not singled to the glory of God. So often we find that our vision is satisfied to see the hem of Christ's garment and the world at the same time. And that our eye isn't single to the glory of God. You know what it means to be single to the glory of God? If it's single, that means there isn't any other. There's not two. There's not two, there's one. One throughout. Not divided. That if your eye is single to the glory of God, it's not divided by the things of the world. Just like we've said in times past, we don't walk with one foot in Christ and the other in the world. Or we don't walk with one foot in light and the other in darkness. That if our eye is single to the glory of God, it means it's not divided. It's one throughout. That the vision that comes from you and the desire of your heart is directed strictly to righteousness. Is directed strictly to that which would save the soul to the children of men, your soul. Because over all the periods of time, Peter, James, and John, of Nephi, Lehi, of Mosiah, King Benjamin, over all the periods of time of great men, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, those individuals that stood so promptly and so strong for God, that embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ to the point wherein they are saved, you and I have to walk the same path. There is not a different path for you than there is for Lehi. There is not a different path for you to walk than there was of John or of Peter. But it has to be walking the same direction under the same spiritual guidance of Christ It has to be walked in righteousness. And the eye of the human being, the spiritual eye, has to be directed and singled on the power of God. That's where that eye has to be directed to. And when it's no longer directed and singled on the power of God, that means we have begun to dwindle. Now, you know there's something about the gospel of Christ that is really beautiful. And that is that whether we want to admit it or not, whenever we have studied and come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we know when our eye is not single on the glory of God within us. Now, we might not choose to listen to it. We might not choose to obey it. But when we begin to fall away from that inside ourselves down deep, we know it. We know that we have begun to pull away. We know that within us that we're satisfying our conscience by finding excuses. Excuses to violate the law. Excuses to no longer walk in the manner that God would have us to walk. And way down deep inside, there had better be a realization that we're going to stand for those things. Because you cannot come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn your head and willfully disobey and walk in an opposite direction and think that you're going to be healed. You're not going to be healed. You're going to be sick. Spiritually sick. Until you come to the fact that, like I'm going to read in Revelation, he says, I'd rather have you cold or hot than lukewarm. I want you to understand that if you're lukewarm, it's because you've been close to the fire. It's because you've come close to the source that's generating the warmth. If you're lukewarm, it's because you have come to the place wherein that you have been touched to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're cold, you haven't come to that knowledge. If you're cold, you haven't come to anything that would warm you. But one who is lukewarm means that the individual that's lukewarm has just as right to be hot. It means that that individual should be hot because they have come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they should walk after it. And you know, so often in our lives, we take each of the commandments. And how often do you see this in your life? How often do I see it in my life? We take each of the commandments and we hang up those commandments before us and we take the ones that we like. And there has to be something that we don't like where we say, well, that's really not interesting. That's really not important. This one over here is not too important. That one over there is. That faith and repentance and baptism is important. The boy that you don't lie is. Or you don't drink. Or you don't bear false witness. Or you don't steal. Or you don't murder. Or you don't commit whoredom. We all want to take the commandments of God and we want to choose to suit our pleasure. But I'll tell you what, when we begin to choose to suit our pleasure, we become a lukewarm people. A people that shall be spewed out of the mouth of God. A people that has within their possession the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by our own indignation and desire, we have set aside the things that we don't want to listen to. The things that we feel like shouldn't apply to me. Oh, we might say to another brother or sister, man, you shouldn't do that. What are you doing that for? They say, well, why not? Well, you know the scriptures tell you that you shouldn't do that. And all the time we're telling them that, we are willfully turning our head and disobeying God and walking in an opposite manner because it suits our life. That's what makes a lukewarm people. That's what makes a lukewarm individual that shall be spewed out of the mouth of God. Is a people that has come and have felt the radiant heat and the inspiration and the power of Christ and have chose by their own inclination what they want to take and what they don't want to take and what they want to accept and what they don't want to accept, thinking that he wrote part of this for Brother Larry back there, and he wrote part of it for Gary, and part of it for Dennis, and another little bit of it for me, and a touch of it for John, and a little bit of it there for Donna, and all the way around, he wrote this for everyone. That within the sound of my voice, or within the turning page of this gospel of Jesus Christ, he didn't write to me and say, I'm not to steal, but it's all right for you to do it. He didn't write to me and say that I'm not to commit whoredoms, but it's all right for you, Patricia. That everything that he has set down in this law, whether it has to do with a single individual, a married individual, a young people, an old people, or whatever the case may be, it has the law to do with their life eternal. And we're either hot or we're cold, or he's going to spew us out of his mouth. That's what it represents. That's what he summed up into the seven churches of Asia. That he would rather that we were cold and we had never approached it than to approach it and not apply it and find all other kind of excuses why it shouldn't be to use in our life. That's why. Let me read some of it. I'm going to read in the third chapter of Revelation. Oh, he's speaking to the church of he's speaking to one of the churches up there, the last one that he spoke to. And he begins to sum things up here. And I'd like to start over perhaps maybe in the 15th verse. He says, I know thy works. You know, that's something else. You know, I could talk a long time on that too. You know, there's a lot of times I might have fooled my mother and my dad. But I wasn't fooling the Lord. Because the Lord knew my works. It didn't make any difference whether I was in the bathroom or behind the barn or up the lake or over behind a bunch of pine trees or up on a mountain or in a cave or hid down in the house or wherever the thunder I'm at. The Lord knew my works. All my earthly parents might not have, but my earthly parents don't save me. It's my heavenly parents that's going to save me through eternal life. Of joy and of happiness, or say, I'm awful sorry, but you were lukewarm, get ye behind me, for I knew you not. And that your lot is a weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You better understand, and I better understand, that power is supreme. It's mighty and it will be controlled. And that when they say that you shall stand before the judgment bar of God, indeed, each one of us will. And just exactly like the scripture says, not one of our acts shall be hid. Oh, yeah, you might hide it from Charlie Brown right now. Or Schultzenheimer over there, a hammer slog down the block. But the hammer slog and Schultzenheimer and Charlie Brown is going to see it before the judgment bar of God. You aren't hiding it before the Lord. He sees it. He knows your actions, and he even knows the intent of your heart, whether it's that to be good or evil. Whether it's the intent to speak out for God or speak against God, to backbite, to turn away a heart, to do the thing that is opposite of God. He knows. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I want you to listen to this, and increase with goods, because, oh my goodness, I got a house and it's all paid for, and I drive a Cadillac, boy, I've got big fields, and I'm pouring out all the grain over here, and I got all this, and I have all that. Boy, I say I'm rich. Man, look at here. I carry $2,000 or $3,000 bills in my hip pocket, and man, I can just buy whatever I want. I want you to listen to what they're buying. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Well, I don't have to have that because I've already got it. 4 cars and a pickup truck and a bicycle and a little bit of everything else and a tricycle or whatever I want. Listen, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you and I can set up a lot of raiment of life for the physical body here and spiritually be poor, miserable, blind and naked. Spiritually be poor, miserable, blind and naked. Spiritually be at the position. There's a bunch of us here have new houses, and spiritually we can be in a spiritual position that he would say he would spew us out of our mouth because of our unrighteousness, because of the manner in which we walk. You know, the Lord has, from the beginning of the creation of man, he has covered specifically every subject that was necessary to save the soul of the children of men, or to uplift you or strengthen you or anything else. Oh, some people come along and say, well, he didn't say nothing about this. He didn't name it. He didn't say nothing about that. That's a person that's blind. When he caused the scriptures to be written, God indeed has caused a sufficient amount of scriptures to be written to cover every aspect of every life that's within this room and of every life that's outside of this room that has ever been and who is now and henceforth forever. He has provided by the scriptures those things that they would study and believe and walk after them that would save their soul, that would lift the burdened heart, that would be free, bring peace to the mind. And he also has provided a power that the day shall come that it shall silence the tongue of the evil. And it even says that they shall be ashes under the soles of the feet of the righteous. And that's true. That's true. They will indeed be ashes under the soles of the feet of the righteous. That time is coming. But prior to that particular time when it shall take place, you and I, through this period of probation, have to make up our mind. What portion are we going to be? Are we going to be those wearing the shoes and doing the treading? Or are we going to be the ashes under the feet? Are we going to think that God don't know our works? Are we going to think that we can slip around and hide from him and get away with things? Are we going to think that the law that is written, that I can say, well, that's for Donna, but it isn't for me? Or I can come along and say, no, that law, those things there, that has to be done by those other people. But of course, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I can just walk and go as I want and everything else. Don't you know that that law was laid down for every human soul of the whole Adam? Of the whole family of Adam. Who does that leave out? The Indians? No. The Negroes? No. The Chinese? No. The Japanese? No. The Gentiles? No. You? No. Me? No. It doesn't leave out anybody. None. We're all going to be held responsible. Now, when we're going to reach the position that we're hot, and then we remain in that position of lukewarm and being spewed out of his mouth. We're all going to be held for that. We're also going to be held, just like the scripture says, for what kind of influence we have had on others to lead them astray as well. That's why he said part of the sins of the children shall fall upon the parents. That's why in another place he said part of the sins of the children of the parents shall fall upon the children. that whenever one is opening up their mouth or directing something that is opposite of that of God and teaching it, or have influence in directing it in an improper manner, they are not walking according to the will of their Father which is in heaven. And if they are influencing in an improper, direct manner, if they are leading and teaching that which would eventually come to the darkness and the shadows in their life. And you know what a shadow is? You see the shadows that's up and down on that corridor right there of the seats? Look at the shadows there, Joe. See them? You know what that is? That's an absence of light. That's what shadows is. It's the absence of light. And Jesus is light. I'm the light and the life of the world. Jesus is that light. And whenever there are shadows in our life, whenever there's discontentment, whenever there's trials and problems and tribulation, that's the time that I need to stop and look at my life and ask me why. That's when I begin to see shadows in my life. And if I'm awake and alert enough, I will recognize the fact that it's the absence of the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God gives light and not shadows. I counsel thee. Now this isn't me speaking. I'm still reading the scriptures. Listen to this. I counsel thee to buy of me. Who's speaking there? Jesus. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me. There's the eternal life. There's the peace and the serenity. There's the strength and the power to overcome. There's the power and the direction of the heart and mind that will say that those things in which he has caused to be written, they have to be worn by me, just as well as the one that I want to put on my sister's foot over there or my brother's foot. You know, so oftentimes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so oftentimes among our people, we want somebody else to wear a pair of shoes that don't want to fit our feet, that we don't want to wear ourselves, but we think that the other should wear them. But it's an odd thing in the gospel of Christ. We're all the same shoes, and we all have to wear the same pair of shoes if we want to reach the kingdom of heaven. And you know something about the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you something about the gospel of Jesus Christ and his opposite of the world. There is no generation gap. You believe that? There is no generation gap in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There isn't any. Where the gap comes is the lack of obedience to the commandments of God. That's what's going to put the gap in the families when the scriptures tell us in this period of time that children will be disobedient to their parents. And that justice shall sleep in the streets. And other things that's going to happen is there will be a mother against the son and a son and a daughter against the father and all these things. Why? Why shall these be? These are because it is the lack of God in their life. That's why. That generation gap, there is none in Christ. I can come along and say, well, I'm so much older than you are, man. Oh, yeah, but now I can do other things. You know, this is sort of a case, honey, that it's to do as I say and not as I do. But it doesn't quite work that way, does it? No, whether I like it or not, I wear the same spiritual shoes to salvation that she's got to put on. And whether she likes it or not at her age, she has to wear the same shoes that her dad wears. If she wants that Spirit of God to direct and lead her life to eternal, of happiness and joy. And don't misunderstand my speaking this morning. You know, everybody that I see here is going to have eternal life. But some life will be happy and joyous, and some life will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
That's eternal life. It's eternal life with joy and happiness, or eternal life with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But whatever the case may be, he says, come, buy of me. This is Jesus Christ. Well, he says, yeah, you're good in some things. Sure, you were good over here. You tried this. You tried the Spirit over there. You held fast here. You did this here. But look what you're doing over here. Look what you're doing over there. You know, we do the same thing in life. We excel in some things and we fall off in others. But the important thing is that, you know, we can't do it in the gospel of Jesus Christ and have the influence of the Spirit of God to lead and direct and motivate our lives like we say we want, and indeed like we need. We can't do it by just sorting the teachings of God and taking and putting to use in our life only that that we want to fit us, and find all other kinds of excuses why you don't have to live up to these. They're all for each one of us, you and me. Let's go a little further here. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. But I'll tell you what, if you don't think that that gold wasn't tried in the fire, that gold was tried in the fire with a lot of spitting on and whipping and mocking, nails in his hands and his feet. That gold has been tried in the fire of the generations of time. It has never been found wanting. Never has never been found wanting, that gold. He has always been capable, ready for the loving heart and the loving mind to reach out. That gold that he's saying, tried and then we find in the fire, is the very same gold that says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. It hasn't been found wanting. That thou mayest be rich. He says, here, come try me. Come try my refined gold. That you mayest be rich. That's what makes you rich. You know, if a man had $1 million or $5 billion in his pocket, and if he didn't have Christ, he's poor and wretched and sick and miserable. He can have a nickel in his pocket. Have Christ with you. You're the richest man on earth. Because he has partaken of that gold that has already been refined by the Father. It has already touched the lives of the children of men. It has already filled the bosoms of the children of men over the generations of time, and have filled them with their need, and has separated them from the power of darkness and the life eternal of joy and of life and of happiness. Listen. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. How often have we heard them speak that they were clothed with raiment that was so bright it was above the noonday? That you'd be cleansed. That you'd be clothed with that white raiment. That I'd be clothed with that white raiment. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That your shame of nakedness do not appear. Now listen. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Anoint thine eyes with eyes sad, that thou mayest see. What is he telling you? And he's telling you to walk in your own wisdom and in your own way? Is he telling you to look in your own eyes? Or to anoint your eyes with a salve of righteousness, the Spirit of God, that you can see? Which one of us here thinks that they can sit down without the understanding of God and understand anything? What did he tell us? He says the wisdom of man is foolishness in the Lord. Isn't that the truth? It indeed is. How often times do you think that you ought to do something, or that you look down and think, boy, we ought to thus and so and this and that, and when the thing all gets through and all said and done, you realize, boy, that was the wrong thing to do. If a man is seeking the gospel of Jesus Christ and he's seeking the truth and knowledge, he doesn't find it in man. He doesn't find it in man's wisdom. He finds it through the inspiration of knowledge and understanding by the Spirit of God. If that spiritual eye salve that gives the man a vision, or the woman a vision of the way and the life eternal, it's that eye salve that heals the sick, blind, and gives it the desire and the ability to sing lit on the glory of God. That's what that eye salve is. That sets your eye and your heart and your mind on the glory of God. And that it's singled in that direction. That it stops the double vision. That when they look, they don't see a double vision. They don't see the frills of the world. They don't see the missed things that they're not supposed to do. But they see the direction in which they are to walk. That they see the joy that are in God. That they see the things that is necessary for them to apply to their life, to be able to have a spiritual vision whose vision shall see all things. That's what that eye salve is. That's the Spirit of God that gives a vision to a man, that heals the heart and the soul, that their eyes shall be single to the glory of God. And he said, fire of me who's been tried in the fire. That thou mayest see. And you know, if we're touched by that eye salve, if we're touched by that eye salve, I'm not going to have to come along and look at you and say, you need to apply all those things to your life. I mean, are you under the law of Christ, or can we just set some of them aside? You can't set any of them aside. Each one of them applies to each of us, every one. And it's a foolish talk. It's the dictation of the power of the adversary in your life and in your mind, and make you think that you can take part of the gospel of Jesus Christ and leave the other and make it. That makes you think that the only thing you need to do is just take the stuff that you want to apply. Just wear the shoe that you want to wear. And let the shoes of the fullness of the gospel go. You're fooling yourself. And others about you, perhaps. Because that isn't the answer. At no place in the Scripture does he verify the fact, now if you take part of my word, or these words which I speak are not of me, but the Father which sent me. He didn't say, but take out of those what you want to use and what you don't want to use and just throw them away. No. That's not what he tells us at all. He tells us that those words are given by his Father, and he directed them to this people and to the peoples of old and through the generations of time to save their souls. And he says, he who hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You know, that sometimes that hurts. Sometimes when you find yourself doing things that are opposite of God and you know it, you sometimes have to stop and ask yourself, do I love the one that's already been refined? The one that says, come and buy me? If I love him, what am I doing this for? Why? Why don't I straighten out and walk in a manner that I know I'm to walk? Why don't I live up to the standard that I know that's necessary to save my soul, to be a good influence on another, This is what this is all about. This is what your life is all about. Is who you're going to choose. Don't fool yourself. It's not kitty cars and hunting and fishing. It's not sewing and riding bicycles and motorcycles. It's a period of time of probation for you and for me to save my soul. That's what it is. You can fancy yourself in a lot of other directions if you want to. Try to put on all other kinds of shoes if you want. But you're not looking with an eye single of His glory if you have any other thing in your mind. Because that's what it's all about. That's the whole duty of man, is to keep the commandments of God. That's what we're here for. I've said before, and I'll say it again. In my life, in your life, in any life of any of the children of men, you find the laxity of the commandments of God. You find where those commandments of God are not in that life, and I'll show you an unhappy individual. An unstable individual. That's what I'll show you. Argue if you please. But you'll see an unstable and unhappy individual whenever there is the lack of God. When their eye is singled in the wrong way. And you know, you can have your eye singled to the devil too. You can have your eye singled to the world too. You can single your eye to the wrong thing that would destroy your soul as well as you can to that which causes it to have life. Either way, you can do those things. But that's the purpose in which you were born. That's why you're sitting in these seats. That's why the peoples are walking the streets. They're here to work out their salvation. For that soul that lives inside the house that I see before me, that piece of clay that lives forever, that's the whole purpose of your walk here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Did you hear that? I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. He's standing at the door knocking at your heart. You going to open up? You going to let him come in? You going to let him sup with you? Or are you not going to say, come in, and we're going to hold the door shut? I stand at the door and knock, he said. But you and I have to open it. Through the desires of your heart and mind, and through the singling of your eye, through the allowing of the eye salve, the spiritual eye salve, to turn your vision so it's no longer a double vision of the world and of God, you have to open up that door and allow Him to come in and sup with you. And oh yes, indeed, you can be rebellious and you can keep the door closed and He won't come in and sup with you. It's just that plain and it's just that simple. Yeah, you have a right. You have a God-given right of your own free agency, all right. And you can leave that door closed and you can put locks on it, night locks on it, and latches and everything else. And you're telling the Lord you ain't coming in, and He won't. But when you stand before the judgment seat of God and the weeping and the wailing start, you'll know that your judgment is just. Because you shut him out. That's what it represents. To him that overcometh. What's that mean? To him that overcometh. What's that mean? If I say, well, that guy overcome. To him that overcometh. To him that overcometh the power of the adversary. To him that overcometh the world. To him that has found a way to open up that door if he had to kick the latch off of it. If a person has an ounce of sense, or they hear that knock, they'll see to it that that door gets open and Jesus can get in. They'll find some way to get that door open, they'd have to kick it off its hinges. If they knew, if they could sit down and study and grasp and understand, if they could look at the world today and look at the things that has happened and the things that are happening now and know that indeed the prophecies that Jesus gives are being fulfilled, if they but use their head, they know they better get that door open so he can come in and sup with them. But they don't become a lukewarm individual. You know, we might think that if we understand the gospel of Christ, that that's a hard thing to do, but that's an easy thing to do. It's easy to follow the world. It's easy to listen to the whispers of the world. It's easy to listen to the whispers of false doctrine, of false teachings and false leadings and counsel. That's an easy thing to do. It's real easy. It's easy to follow along with the crowd. It's when you stand out from the crowd is when the dust starts, isn't it? That those who overcome it, that those who allow the eye salve to penetrate their eyes, that they no longer look with a double vision, that those who overcome it, will I grant to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And then he finishes that off like he does in so many places in the scriptures. And I'm going to ask you this morning to listen to it real close and ask yourself if you have. He says this. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Have you listened? These things which I have taught this morning are not of me. The one that created and breathed within us the breath of life. The one through his grace and love and commandment, power and mercy upon the children which he has created has provided a way for the children to walk, to come, and to live with him. The one that had put into motion the word love and compassion. The one that had put into motion Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, a Savior, an anointed, to reach out to the hearts of the children of man, to proclaim, to live, to be refined as gold, to see that he can be bought without money, just with a ready heart and mind and soul, with a ready hand to open the door, that he come and sup with us, with you and with me. He that have an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, my frailties and my humanness, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I didn't cause the scriptures to be written. I didn't do a lot of things, but there's some things I do understand. I understand and know that there is a God and a Son and a way provided for the children of men to come into his holy kingdom. I'm old enough and begin to see, perhaps with enough vision, to know that man and woman is rebellious. And so often we rebel against the truth. So often we rebel against those things that we know that are true and salve our conscience with excuses for why we walk those ways. But I also know that the promise says that he'd spew us out of his mouth. And I know that that promise is true. And I know he is indeed going to cleanse his sanctuary. And I know indeed that he has provided for the children of men. And he does have a voice that reaches out and says, hear what the Spirit says. has to say. The Spirit says, open up the door and he'll come and suck with us. The Spirit says, try him and we'll have a white raiment. We will not be needy and sick and poor. The Spirit says that he is the way and the life. He is the light and the life of the world. It tells us that where there's shadow, there's darkness. The Spirit tells us that there are many who will go about across the face of the earth to destroy those thoughts in your mind and your heart and to destroy your soul. And he says, fear not those who can destroy the body, but fear him rather who can destroy the soul and the body. Who is he talking about? Was he talking about some guy that's holding a cock gun at your head? You're fearing? No. The one you're to fear is the one who's leading and directing your life in a wrong manner. They swear up and down their friends and destroying your soul. To fear the one that has the power to destroy the soul and the body. To fear the one that has the power to be able to allow you to save your conscience and my conscience to the things that I know that I'm doing wrong, but I find all kinds of excuses to satisfy myself of why I should go ahead and do it. To fear the one that teaches you not to pray. To fear the one that teaches you to be rebellious. And to turn a deaf ear to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to walk not after the pattern that Christ had set. Oh yes, if he was to speak to us today, just like the seven churches of Asia, he would say, yes, indeed, in some of these things, you're good. You're right. You've done this and you've done that and you're being kind to this person. You're doing this and you're doing that. But it's a constant walk with the Lord. And each one of us are dependent upon the direction of his Holy Spirit and his strength and power to endure to the end. And if we don't have it, and if we don't allow him to salve our eyes with that spiritual salve, you and I will become lukewarm. That's what will happen to us. We become lukewarm. We satisfy and sear our conscience with a hot iron to do willfully what we want to do. Now, you know, you might say, well, old Brother Hubert's come up here and he tells us, well, we're really bad people and we're this and we're that. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm just happy I don't have to judge anybody at the last day. I'm just happy that I don't have to. And I don't judge you as an individual. But the Scriptures tells me that I have to judge and you have to judge my words. Whether my works are evil or whether they're good. And that you're to avoid the very appearance of evil, and that I'm to avoid the very appearance of evil, which means that you and I have to put to use in our heart and mind things and do some judging of what's good and what's bad and what is capable of destroying our souls quickly. And in this judgment, if you and I have embraced the knowledge of God, you must know that each one of his commandments is for us to live. Each one. Whether it is that we're a child or we're a single individual, whether we're married, whether we're off to ourselves, or whether we're with a group of people, whatever the case may be, we're still under the law of Christ. And wherever we might be, and wherever we're in the back 40, or wherever we're at, we're still going to be judged by the law of Christ. And he knows our worth. He knows our worth. And so when that time comes, they don't have to come and say to me, Brother Hubert, did you see Dennis do so-and-so? If you think the Lord's going to have to ask me what Dennis did, you're mistaken, because he knows. And the good law kept on him. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's thinking. He knows what he has in his heart. And he knows when he's lukewarm or when he's hot. And he knows whether I'm lukewarm or whether I'm hot. And I might come along and fool you, but I don't fool him. And there's one thing about it. If whenever we're trying to fool somebody else that we're something that we aren't, the one we're really fooling is ourselves. Because we have to be that individual if we want to live with God. And we're the ones that's fooling ourselves when we're trying to fool somebody that we're doing and we're a 90-90 or we're this and we're that and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're violating the law of God. The only one we're fooling is ourselves. Because God knows. And God knows whether we're hot or whether we're lukewarm. My prayer is that we as a people, we could come to the realization that God has caused the scriptures to be written to save our souls. And that in those scriptures is the way unto life. That it indeed is a rod of iron. It covers you young people specifically from the time that you're born. And in some cases, even before they were in the mother's womb. It covered the old from the time they were born. It covered each one. There's no way you can get away from it. It touches your life when you're young. It touches your life when you're old. It touches your life when you're single. It touches your life when you're married. It touches your life when you're bearing children. It touches your life in every manner. From the beginning to the end, when you lay down this old physical body, and then it will touch your life henceforth and forever beyond that. So it behooves us as a people to be alert at the time that we're living in. It behooves us as a people to be alert at the gospel of Christ and what's required of us as an individual and collectively as a body, as a family, as children, as parents. We better come alert and awake that those things were written for us. That we would be hot and not be lukewarm, that we'd be spewed out of our mouth. And my prayer is for each of us, including myself, that I might be alert and awake through the discernment given by the power and the Spirit of God to be able to recognize wherein I lack in applying to my life those commandments of God. And get up and get on the bandwagon for righteousness and apply it. That's my desire, is to apply it. To be a vessel that would so walk, that would glorify their Father which is in heaven. To be a vessel whose counsel would be for God and not opposite. Of the teachings of God. And so often counsel is opposite of God. So often. We have to watch out what we're doing. Because our actions come into being. In the scene. In the things that we do. So as he gives a message to the seven churches, he gives it to us today, as equally and as well. Paul, I know. You know, there's a lot of times your brothers that stand up here have to preach things they'd rather not preach. Oh, I could have come here today and looked out here and told you all a whole bunch of nice things. Everything just all right. Everything just peaches and cream, and boy, we're just all walking right after the Lord. And Everything is good and going in perfect harmony and love, and everybody's happy and serenity. Everything's fine. And I can stand in this pulpit and sit before you, and I can see the sadness in the face of the many here. And I can see the lack then of the Spirit of God. Because it doesn't work with unhappy. So it's important, my brothers and sisters, that indeed, like Jesus said, if you have an ear, hear. Don't look at the servant whose responsibility is to teach, or to preach, or to exhort, or expound, or rebuke, or to chasten. Because many times when we're chastening ourselves. No. I'm just called to preach is what's here. Because this is the way in the life. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to preach and to teach and to counsel. But what I find in the confines of these pages of the way in the life. And because of the experiences that I've been blessed to see, the miracles that I've been blessed to see, I've tried it. And I know that they're true. I've tried them and I know that they're true. But they didn't damage peace, love, and harmony, and compassion. The ending is a necessary fruit to fill your soul. Hear what the Spirit has to teach. Unstop your ears that you might listen.
I will thank you once again for your mind of prayer just in order to come. Let us use the closing service number 205.
I know that he will be with me. Thank you.